Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say one thing nice about 50 Cent.
Sometimes you need loose change. Yo, bro, look, nah, here's what I'm saying. I mean, let me break it up. If I'm gonna answer it, yo, let's make sense of it.
Right.
All right, let's just say you left your wallet at home. All right? You in your car, you pull over in LA, you know what I'm saying? It's a parking meter. You open your middle console, you got a dollar. You know that ain't, you can't, the parking meter ain't taking a dollar. Mm-hmm. And then you scrape to the bottom, past the chapstick, past your earbuds, and then you find a quarter, like, you know, 35 cents. You're gonna be able to stay there for about 15 minutes. So I'm saying, loose change, you need it sometimes, man.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get a pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Fact. Keep it riding for the fam, you gotta light the wiggin' wheels straight up. Look in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie detector test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed. Gas.
Hey. The I Am Athlete Parlay. We've been hot, 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 hot.
These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
It's all about matchup, understanding who's playing against who. It's a game of chess.
Listen to me, B Baby. Please say the baby. We can get straight to the business. We're going to crown this king. Understand this, if you're a new customer and you download DraftKings Sportsbook, the app, and use promo code ATHLETE, bet $5, you're going to get $150 in free bets instantly. Listen to me, okay? If DraftKings isn't in your city, your state, make sure you understand that you can participate in a daily fantasy contest where people get in big bags, $1 million here, $1 million there. Get in the game, make it rain with DraftKings Sportsbook, the app, promo code ATHLETE.
DraftKings.com is the sportsbook. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete, all day. Promo code ATHLETE, let's get it.
We're gonna start this show off a little different. We call this Tea Time. Tea Time is basically a space that we create for us men to get emotional, talk about our feelings.
Right.
So tea time kind of allows us to dive in, ask messy questions, have some dope conversation, right? Don't spill your tea. Cool? You like tea?
Yeah. Everybody,
all right, so,
okay, everybody
cool.
Like tea. Tea is common, man.
Tea, cool. I don't know
if
we supposed
you,
to toast
you,
tea
you
or
cheers,
not.
Cheers, tea.
Yeah, right?
Tea time.
Salute,
tea. Do anything.
All right, tea time.
Yeah.
So your agent calls you.
You making
it. You up in Calabasas. Uh-huh. And they like, yo, gang, we got an opportunity for you. Two opportunities, but you got to choose one. You can do this album and a whole collab with this person or star in this movie with this person. Do you choose to do an album, sip your tea, or a movie with 50 Cent? And you got to choose one.
Look,
man.
Look.
Hey, yo.
He would have spilled that one.
He, right? He almost spilled that one.
I do.
You gotta be in a movie.
And break it down for us.
What kind of movie? Do this nigga die in the movie? if we on the opposite sides in the movie, I think the movie is he abandoned his son. And I come in, you know what I'm saying, to the baby moms and show her how, you know, a real dad is. And then, you know, at first he don't, you know, he warming up. He don't just call me dad. But the type of parenting and type of fatherhood that I, you know,
right,
adhere to children, you know what I'm saying, that I put on children, like, it's only a certain amount of time before he gonna be calling me, you know, dad. So it's like, me and him, I don't really fuck with him because he abandoned his kid, his own child, right, his flesh and blood. You know what I'm saying? Flesh and blood. And then I come along and pick up the pieces. Now, he don't owe me nothing. You know what I'm saying? But I got problems with him. Any man that don't want to take care of their own child for any reason, I got a problem with.
Tea time. We got real messy.
Ding, ding, ding. You said it was a movie, man.
What's the name of the movie?
Abandonment.
Yeah. You might say, co-executive producer. You know what I'm saying? Shot in L.A.
Tea time.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Pac, what that do right there when you just, you know, do, just when you do that? That look like some high-level London English shit. Did this. Okay, get it right.
Say one thing nice about 50 Cent.
Sometimes you need loose change. Yo, bro, look, here's what I'm saying. I mean, let me break it up. If I'm gonna answer it, yo, let's make sense of it.
Right.
All right, let's just say you left your wallet at home. All right? You in your car, you pull over in LA, you know what I'm saying? It's a parking meter. You open your middle console, you got a dollar. You know that ain't, you can't, the parking meter ain't taking a dollar. Mm-hmm. And then you scrape to the bottom past the chapstick, past your earbuds, and then you find a quarter, like, you know, 35 cents. You're gonna be able to stay there for about 15 minutes. So I'm saying, loose change, you need it sometimes, man.
Tea time.
You know?
Like, for real though, bro, like, you know, in all seriousness, and I know, you know, y'all situation is serious. Y'all been going back and forth for years, so I ain't going discredit that and overlook that. That's real. But like, it was special seeing y'all together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? West Coast, East Coast. And when, you know, 50, how he entered and then he brought you along. That was a special time in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So I understand the situation, but I definitely want to give both of y'all flowers and everybody involved, because that was a legendary run that I don't know if we ever see again.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Legendary. For real.
Like, it was too.
Especially when we needed it out here. We didn't have nothing going on in LA.
Nothing.
Yeah, so the story is that 50 came in and like wrote the documentary. Like, well, we know that's not true because I have more classic albums than him. And then, but what he did.
Can't help himself.
Bro, it's not petty. How can it be petty if it's a fact?
Right,
it's a fact. It out there, right, though,
like 50 had Get Rich or Die Tryin'. We all know that the album, like the magnitude of the album was dope at that time in hip hop, and he was a force. And then he had, I think the second one was like The Massacre or something like that. Yeah. And that was a pretty decent album. But really, like really on some real hip hop, 50 had one classic album, one, Get Rich or Die Tryin'. And amazing. Me, I've had several, and I'm still here right now, putting out an album in, 3 weeks?
Drillmatic.
And so, Drillmatic. And so, 50 had his time in rap, and then he did what a real should do, and transition. When it was over for him, he went into TV and looked. Like, it's amazing. He got a star on Hollywood, you know what I'm saying? People walk on it, step on it every day, and, you know, like, that's all cool. I watch BMF. I like Power. The Tommy shit, that was the one where I was like, eh. But I like the Isaac Wright joint that was on NBC, I think. Like, he does amazing in TV. So just, like, stay there.
Right. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, and then as far as the album, just to finish up, because I don't want it to be open-ended. He helped me on the documentary tremendously. And then, like you said, like, it was a thing. Game and 50 was, like, a super huge thing. But as far as, like, my skill set and what I'm able to do lyrically, like, there's no better than that. So, just... cut all the 50 wrote for Game. 50 wrote for 50 and did his part. And then you got to know, when you a group and you in a studio and you writing, you know what I'm saying? It's like you. When you catch an interception, right? And you turn the fuck around and you go score, That's a personal accolade for you, but you're really doing it for the team. The team wins. So when we in there and I'm bouncing my lyrics off of you, yeah. and we all in the huddle, and I'd be like, yo, Swaggy, what you think about if I said, you know, the palm tree grow higher than the cloud? And you're like, I fuck with that. That don't mean that you wrote it for me, but you get writer's credit. So like we was just in there like doing what
it's a team.
We was doing what the Locks would do if they were in the studio. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or any or Bone Thugs or anything like that. So it's like, I don't you know, come up and be like, yo, I wrote this for this and I wrote this for that. And I was right here leaning against the wall on Get Rich or Die Trying. So I need credit for that. It's just like, you rap, I rap, I'm just a better rapper than you. And that's cool, because you're a better TV producer than me. Hey, well, let me ask y'all a question that people don't normally ask y'all, and I notice y'all show.
But when you,
cause names are everything, right? And I'm gonna tell y'all a quick story, and I'm gonna get back to my point. My point is this, like 40 Glock, right?
Yeah.
He was going around L.A. punking rappers, and Jamie Foxx will tell you the story. He had not to on nobody, but he had Plies like trapped in the bathroom, and like, you know, like literally wouldn't let come out, and one or wanted him to come out, but had it surrounded. And Jamie Foxx was there, and blah blah blah, and you know, like he was going around. He ran up on Baby and Wayne in a car in L.A. and tried to punk. And he ran up on the car, like, get out the car, talking to Wayne. And it was all happening on, you know, L.A. soil. So what happened was, I kind of got into it because Wayne, and I'm from L.A. and I felt like nah, you can't press niggas in L.A. like that, right? So I got into it, but the name 40 Glock to me in my mind and my heart was like, damn, like when I see this, it's going to be up because this will be doing his in. Right. So the name, you know, it was like, his name was in lights out here on some, you know, like 40 Glock. Right. So when I saw it in real life, my heart was beating, but I had already talked it, but he was over there. He seen me, I seen him. And I pumped myself up, like kind of if I was about to face like D-Mark. So I'm rocking. I'm like, what happened? We about to do our shit. Ain't no. I couldn't go backwards.
Right.
That's Mark. He see me, I see him. So I said, you know what, nigga, fuck it. We about to go over here and get our ass whooped. Let's go. So, cause it's 40 Glock.
Right.
Look at 40 Glock, y'all.
So, and then Jamie Foxx told me a story that had me like, damn. So I'm like, I'm saying, fuck it. Yeah. So I go over there, I start approaching him. He started walking away.
Yeah.
I said, oh, what's up? So you know my shit going like, I got it. So this nigga started walking down the driveway, and it was like a driveway that went like this, and it had high trees. So he was going that way, he couldn't see that I was going this way. So when we got to the end of the driveway and we met, I was like, now I'm amped up, because he tried to make an exit. So I'm like, what's happening, blood? And that nigga took off running, homie. So again, we all know what happens after that. So look, going back.
Look at 40 Glock. Look at 40 Glock.
The reason I took the camera out.
Look at 40 Glock.
The reason I took the camera out is because he liked to take the camera out. He liked to pull the camera out and like embarrass
the bushes.
So yeah. Throw my shoes and everything. But anyway, that's back then. So the point I'm trying to make is that names. So when you coming up to the line of scrimmage, right? And you see you see Pac-Man Jones, and it's like Pac-Man, like, ooh, like Pac-Man, that's a dope name.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, I had some who wasn't even like in football like that. They're always like, oh, I want Pac-Man. His name's Pac-Man. Like my homies I play Madden with.
Right.
And they always picked it. I can never get you in a fantasy draft off the name.
Yeah,
so I'm saying,
sure.
When you match up with Pac-Man, do you feel like this Pac-Man? Like, I gotta.
100%, but it's also.
And do you do like this B. Marshall? This 6'5".
Because like what you said, it's like even that, you know how it is. You go against a regular dude, I ain't gotta do much film study. Yeah. I ain't gotta do much work. I already know what Topman is. I'm gonna get busy. But when it comes to Pac-Man and Darrell Revis of the world, and you know, I had some major battles, the Champ Bailey's of the world, and you go on and on and on,
yeah.
You gotta do extra work. You gotta study. And then when you go out there, those stories as well, like you watch Pac-Man throwing dudes, smacking dudes, taking balls to the crib. So 100%.
Same thing verbatim with me. I really didn't like playing against guys that wasn't big names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I was so intrigued by me locking this down. And when I go back, all my niggas in the hood, I'm like, damn, why you held AB the guy 20?
Let me tell you though. Let me tell you. And not no other football player in the world, but for a real hood, so I'm talking about niggas that wake up, sip yak, nigga, and make pancakes and turn it into a sandwich with the eggs. For those niggas out there, Pac-Man Jones is like AI of football.
Ooh, I appreciate it.
Nah, it's like, nah, literally. Like, nah, you just that nigga. Hey, yo, and I, and again, this gonna sound, it's gonna sound crazy, right? Because we all grown and we passed that and we, you know, we on a higher level. Like, when you used to go to, when you used to go to jail and shit, I used to get, I used to get like happy, man. Like, yeah, look, Pac-Man on some hood shit. No, but I'm, you a hood nigga. So when you do something up, I'll be like, nigga, my, y'all, nigga, innocent. Every time, cause it's like you was the hood. Is like when you got drafted, when you made it, when you caught an interception, every hood, you know what I'm saying, right, made it to the NFL. And it was the same thing with like AI. When he braided his hair, wore baggy clothes, like we felt like we all was in the NBA. So I got to give you that while we're here, man.
We had Gilbert Arenas on the show, and I asked him, "Yo, name your top five petty people." He said Kanye. He said Drake. He said you.
Yeah.
You agree with that, top five?
I agree with it.
You got a particular top five of petty?
Yeah, what is your top five? That's a good one.
I'm definitely up there. Gil Petty. Petty. Yeah. Nah, Gil Petty.
Gil Petty.
Gil might be number one. His petty comes with like research.
Yeah.
He dig, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
50 got like that petty to where like a few words might be misspelled on accident or purpose or whatever, but it's gonna be, he gonna say what he wanna say. It's gonna be comedic. Right.
Now me, a shot at him.
My level of petty is like educated. You know what I'm saying? Cause I'm well spoken, I'm also a hood, and I'm funny. So it's like, I'm gonna give it to you.
Said
exactly 50 the way,
was dumb, and he said,
you know what I'm saying? You don't misspell words. You don't understand exactly.
He said 50 was dumb and I'm educated. Yeah. He said 50 gonna misspell some shit.
But it don't take away from what he has been able to amass. Like, right. I watched the show, shit, and you know, he had his time in rap, and it was a good time. Like, at one time, like, 50 was that.
Jimmy Iovine was like, and maybe it was Dre involved in this conversation, too, is like, yo, y'all the Beatles, don't break up the Beatles.
That was Jimmy Iovine. No, Dre. Jimmy. Yeah, it was just me and Jimmy Iovine in Jimmy's office with 50, and then we flew to New York to go squash the beef. And yeah, once I got there, it was, I don't know, man, I was feeling weird. I felt like I was in like a controlled environment where like, where I was a puppet and I didn't feel comfortable. So that's why when you look at the pictures, I'm a little bit disoriented and you know, everybody else is kind of like happy it's happening, but I wasn't really happy with that. But I did it because I got paid to do it. I don't be turning down no bags.
Eminem, overrated, underrated?
I say slightly overrated. Slightly overrated. I think it was the time that he came in. I think he came in with Dre. And whenever you get certified by the Black Hand, it helps you out. And then there's a thing called white privilege too. And like, it is what it is. Like, it is what it is. It exists and it helps.
Can I push back on you a little bit?
You can do whatever you want to do. It's your show.
But I'm in LA. We good?
No, you, man.
I'm good.
Good. Nah, man.
All right, but look.
Growth, my brother. Growth.
Yeah, you talking about growth. He's still, you know, you still out there, boy. You talking about growth. You still game, boy. So we're talking about Eminem right now. And probably about 10 years ago, you was doing an interview. I don't know who you were sitting down with, but you talked about like, look, no rapper want to go against M. You know what I'm saying? You was like, it just don't make sense. So now we're 10 years later, and now, you know, you've been really outspoken about your place in hip hop history, or, you know, this whole Eminem conversation. You know, talk to me about like why things have changed from that interview from 10 years ago.
When you was 4 years old, did you need help crossing the street?
Yeah, 100%.
What about when you were 14?
No, I was good.
10 years, a long time.
Mm.
How I felt back then, I don't feel the same. And the reason I felt like that back then, because I was part of a unit, and I was part of a family still. And again, when I, like, even before I was signed to Aftermath, they put Eminem on a pedestal. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Interscope put the bag behind him. Media, which is predominantly run by white people, which is which I'm glad that we have I Am Athletes and $1 million worth of games and all these different podcasts where we can come down and sit down with people that look like us and talk about real shit. And I know it's gonna get out there and what my words are not gonna get misconstrued. Now we have this platform, but back then we didn't have that. It was whatever they say goes, this is where the bag is, MTV, y'all better do what we said y'all better do because we gave y'all the money, y'all got the money, right? Yeah. Okay, BET, y'all got the money, right? Okay, y'all got the money. Okay, whoever, like whatever the media outlet is, they're paid to do it. They're right. Still paid to do it. It's called promotion. Companies put the bags behind the biggest artists. You know what I'm saying? Right. So if you are, and let's just say Adele, right? If you are Adele, you're getting a bag behind you. Now, a singer that can sing just as good as Adele on the same or a different label might not get the bag behind her. It really breaks down to the politics inside of the building. Mm. And let's just say this girl who can sing just as good as Adele don't want to, and I'm not, this isn't about Adele, but let's say this girl doesn't smile at the A&R the way that he thinks he should smile at her. He might kill her whole record. He might go back and tell the record that she don't have no good music.
Right.
It might never get to the channels. So I'm saying, they made sure that Eminem was gonna be Eminem.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if you listen to it or I listen to it or you listen to it, they were gonna make sure. Yeah. And even if nobody listened to it, they were gonna manipulate the numbers and do and put the bag where it needed to go so that it can seem the way that it seemed. And I was a fan of that too. I was a fan of Dr. Dre and hi, my name is, that came out of nowhere. I'm not saying that Eminem can't rap and he's not an amazing rapper. All I ever said was this, he's just not better than me.
Right.
Now, if you put 200 million behind Drillmatic, I'm taking home 14, 15 Grammys this year. That's just what it is. It's a system.
Right. Right.
It's just like the NFL. It's you both, all three of y'all. We all athletes, y'all professional and me, Earl Manigault or something. But you know for a fact that it's out there in the hood that never made it to the NFL that can run faster that's than right. Pac-Man Jones and they can catch better than you.
Right.
But you might have had a bad attitude, cussed out the wrong coach, you ain't get the visit because, you know what I'm saying? Because this was a safer athlete. Yeah. It's like the Super Bowl. The real reason I wasn't on the Super Bowl is because I'm not a safe artist. You don't know what game gonna do when you get up there. So it's just like, he not safe. So they went with the safe artist.
How did you feel about that?
I feel like this. I'm gonna put the tea down because I don't even need the tea. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Okay.
For this. I feel like the Super Bowl is in LA, right? It's a Dr. Dre Super Bowl, but it is Jay-Z. But Jay-Z understands the dynamics of West Coast hip hop very well, right? And I don't think Jay-Z would have had a problem if Dre would have said, we bring in Game on the Super Bowl.
You had a song that was classic for it.
Number one, outside of myself, I also think that YG should have been on the Super Bowl. But that's just me.
But you're older than YG, though.
It's not that.
It's the rules.
LA.
It's LA, bro.
If it was a New York Super Bowl, you might have saw Jay-Z. You might have saw Nas. You might have saw Mary J. and 5-E-O Foreign. And Alicia Keys. And you might have saw anybody. Because we on the West Coast are the only fuckers that have this crab in a barrel mentality where we want to keep down or don't do things based on what somebody else might think it looks like. Snoop Dogg was there because Snoop Dogg is safe and he a legend. It's like Snoop. My grandmother knows Snoop. And so do my children. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Snoop is an icon. Dre is an icon. M is an icon, but M is not from L.A. 50 is not from L.A. And I'm not taking away from the fact that they were on the Super Bowl, but L.A. wouldn't have been on a Detroit Super Bowl or a New York Super Bowl. It just wouldn't have happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have needed Snoop Dogg on a Super Bowl in New York, and it wouldn't have been like that. So it's like, if it's in L.A., right, and you tell me if I'm wrong, y'all three real. If it's in L.A. and we're doing a Super Bowl in L.A. and it's Dr. Dre Super Bowl, and all that I've done for this city, and I'm an A-list artist, and I'm still in the streets, 10 toes down every day, every single fucking day. I ain't walking around this, I ain't walking here with no security. I don't move like that. Like, I move around L.A. You know I move around L.A. I'm at the cleaners. I'm at the Trader Joe's. In the hood. I'm in the streets. I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? The fact that I'm sitting here talking to y'all today is a miracle to me because I should have died 10 years ago with the type of time I'd be on out in the streets on some real shit. But there shouldn't have been no L.A. Super Bowl in L.A. The Rams was in the Super Bowl, bro. L.A., 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 all around the Super Bowl, and I don't get the call. So
how'd you feel?
I felt disrespected. I felt disrespected.
So the tattoo coming up?
I don't know if that's a feeling. Can we Google, yeah, if disrespected is a feeling?
All right, listen. All right. I was hurt by that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was hurt
Thank
by
you,
that.
Gang.
And yo, and let me tell you. Snoop didn't do me like that. Kendrick, it's not his Super Bowl. It's not Snoop's Super Bowl. I talked to Snoop about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Snoop was like, you know, cuz, if it was my Super Bowl, cuz, we'd have been in that, you know? Right. And that's my uncle, and I love him to death. I feel like Dre should have called and said, why? I would understand that. Because I talked to Dre. I talked to Dre often. And I just felt like, I just know if I was Dre and he was game, he would have been up there. That's just it. It's L.A. Right, and right. I am L.A. Like, I am L.A. I'm in the streets.
Right.
And that's it. So, yeah, it hurt. Now, am I bothered by it today? I'm not bothered by it today. I felt...
What song you would have done, though?
Huh?
What song you think you should have done?
I felt I could have done anything. I could have done... If you was going to have 50, we could have did 8 of them. We could have did How We Do. I could have did West Side Story. I could have did One Block. I could have did anything.
Yeah.
Anything. If you had to pick one, would you have picked, though?
Huh?
If you had to pick one... I think how you would have came up, because 50 came out upside down. How you would have
came. Yeah, I definitely would have had 10 toes on the ground. You know what I'm saying? I ain't
rotisserie. What song would you do?
Yeah, you're not going to rotisserie chicken meat. Up there spinning like he had no Pollo Loco. But, hey, yo, but let's say this as we talk about feelings. I feel that it was an amazing Super Bowl and it was a win for our culture as a whole. Right. I just felt like if it was going to be in L.A.,
Right.
Look, just so it's not open-ended, the M thing, money, power, media can make you believe anybody is great.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, again, man, M is an outstanding rapper. I'm just better.
Yeah. We got one more question on Tea Time. Best man in your wedding, Kanye or Dr. Dre?
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Best man in my wedding? Best man in my wedding, Dr. Dre. Because again, like we said earlier, it's between me and him. And I'm pretty sure that one day we're gonna sit down and I'm gonna be able to talk to him about how I felt about that, and he's gonna be able to display whatever it is that he wanna display. And yeah, that'll be it.
I respect that. It's
fucking good tea.
Good tea. Good tea. Give us some good tea. But I mean, all your legendary battles, bro. And one, I'm thankful that you're here. And please, like I get it, but please move. Like you the game, bro. We got to get security. Like we need you.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're an OG. You know what I'm saying? So you're able to. I truly believe to reach the youth, you gotta speak their language. You gotta have gone through what they have gone through, what they're going through. You know what I'm saying? So you've been through everything. You know, not only in the streets and music, but also sports. Like you got that ability. So do what you gotta do.
You said Kanye did more for you in the last 2 weeks than Dre done did for you in the last couple years.
But see,
elaborate on that.
First, let's talk about why that's funny to you.
Because I feel like.
From
outside looking in, because I know you.
Right. When I said that, I meant it. And the reason that I said it the way that I said it, it just came out like that. And then anybody that heard it or was able to watch that that podcast just took it away, you know, took it at face value for what I said without me being able to truly understand what I meant. At that time, Kanye had put me in a room with Elon Musk and put me in a room with a few other, you know, people, you know, that really make in the world and really got money, and I was able to forge some friendships and some contacts that
yes, priceless.
Right, right,
and it shit. Wasn't so it wasn't really on Dre.
It's just like a billionaire mindset.
Again, I don't even with Jimmy Iovine and Dre and back in the day, those rooms that 50 and Eminem were allowed to walk in, I never got the invite. Again, like the Super Bowl, I could have met anybody. This is the opportunities that Hov gave Meek Mill put the position that Hov put Meek Mill and Yo Gotti in by affiliating himself with those younger artists has Meek in there with Robert Kraft and doing all these great things for Philly and doing all the when it comes to me, it's always leave me out of the room in the conversation. So yeah, you would never say I'm better than Eminem because they are not putting me in the places where my talents can be, you know right. what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
can be magnified.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I've always respected you too, because like your classic battles with Eminem, 50 Cent, Jimmy, all of them, you always kept Dre right here. You know what I'm saying? That was the first time people was like, damn, like, you never did that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's why it took everybody, you know, back, right? Like.
And since we on here and you asked, and we talking about feelings and tea and, you know, and we really unpacked on a real man level, like you said, that shit me. So yeah. I said what I said and I felt how I felt and I'm going to stand on it until we sit in the room and we talk about it. And he knows.
When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. We'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8 start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Well, you got to talk to me one day.
I love that. Well, y'all handle y'all business. Drillmatic, bro.
Yeah.
Why? What's the name? Drillmatic. And then, okay, I'm better than Eminem and et cetera, et cetera. What should we expect with Drillmatic? You know, is this going to be the one? Is this going to solidify your position in hip hop history? So like, what are we talking about?
My place in hip hop history, like, can't erase me for what I did. I've helped so many people in the early stages of their careers that, like, I'm really that.
Where do you see yourself though, ranking wise, and out of like all the rappers, like they got Jay, they got Kanye, or
I stopped judging is off.
Are you like top 20?
I'm definitely top 20. Like I'm definitely top 20. I got too many rappers that I love that are in the top 10 to put myself in the top 10. I could just run them down so you can understand why. And this is no particular order. I like Biggie, Pac, Jay, Nas, that's 4. Andre 3000, Eminem will be in my top 10. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of what he's done. And it don't matter who put what behind him. Like he did it and he had to rap to get there still. There's M. And Ice Cube, Snoop, I like Kendrick in my top 10. I like Kenny because I watched it happen. Mm.
But you kind of like, I wouldn't say discovered, I mean, Nipsey and Kendrick. Like
God discovered this. Like, you know what I'm saying? I helped them in a time where it needed a little help or needed a little push.
Is that why you get so pissed off with this situation with, like, Dre? Because it's like, your heart, like,
let me tell you something.
I struggle with that, too, because, like, I'm always trying to give back. I'm trying to pull somebody as I go up the ladder. And when that ain't reciprocated, I get pissed off, bro.
Yeah,
is that the root of it for you?
Here's what I know. What I do know is that when Kendrick is coming up, he had Top Dog, and Top Dog really, really believed in Kendrick and, like, really, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn near father and son type, you know what I'm saying, on that level as far as Top Dog ENT is concerned. What I'm saying is that when he needed Chuck to do anything for Top Dog or J-Rock or Kendrick, it was absolutely yes. I'm saying when I met Nip, the first time Nip was selling incense, like, really, he was just hustling. Nipsey Hussle. And then the second time I met him, like, he had a CD. And he gave me the CD. I asked him what his number on the back. He said, yeah. He told me, like, please don't throw this fuck out the window. Like, listen to it. I listened to it. That was hard as fuck. And I went to the radio station and told them that Nip was that. And I also brought Nip to the studio. We did, like, three songs. And one he ended up using, L.A. Classic, was They Roll. And every time Nip needed me, I was right there. I took Nip and Kendrick. And I took Nip and J-Rock on tour. Kendrick, at this time, was J-Rock's hype man. And when I saw what Kendrick was doing on as J-Rock hype man, I pulled Top Dog to the side. I said, like, let me get, you know what I'm saying? Let me get Kendrick. Let me get Kendrick. He like, nah, he's special. And I'm like, yeah, he is. And so I told my good luck. I knew where they was going. And so I did what I was supposed to do as a real, but if I didn't help Kendrick, Kendrick was going to help himself. He already had Top Dog that was pushing it on some old Birdman and Slim type of, you know what I'm saying? I'm that type. But Kendrick was coming, and so was Nipsey, because when he got that much poise and passion about himself and his craft and what he do, you're not going to be able to stop Pac-Man Jones from getting to the NFL.
Right. You weren't in that legendary picture with Madonna, AB, Floyd. You wasn't?
No, I wasn't there. I was there. I didn't take the picture.
Why you ain't take the picture?
I was moving. I was with Ye. I went to Delilah's with Ye. Once I seen Madonna and Floyd and you know, they was doing their thing, I was like, you know, this ain't really for me. I went back to the studio.
What you mean?
Like, I don't really, like, I'm working on my album. So I was right with Ye. Ye was like, meet me up there. So when I got there, like, I was 10 minutes behind. Ye pulled up with ASAP Rocky. They left in a Cherokee. And then I pulled up behind it in my G-Wagon, like, 5 minutes later, because I got 30 people with me. You know what I'm saying? And half women, so you don't think I'm coming, like, you know, Pac-Man will come to the club. But, like, yeah, no, I pull up at Delilah's. And we go in there, and they don't really got a place for all my people. And Ye and Madonna was already sitting down, and Floyd and them was in there. And so I didn't really feel like that it was room for us. Yeah. I didn't want to intrude, so I went back to the studio.
Hey, bet. All right. AB got a chance. Like, for me, it's like, you know, and I had this little short conversation with him when he was on the show. I just, like, wish, hope, and it seems like he's making some of the right moves. Like, how you parlay this into a whole career. He in a moment, you know, if you listen to the joint with Thugger, and, you know, he got a nice little album. He got a chance. Because, you know, right now it's about entertainment, you know what I'm saying, and branding. You know, how you going to take this 8 million followers and parlay this into a nice entertainment right career?
Let me ask you a question. When you say, like, And I've been trying to get all my friends to stop doing this, unless it's honest.
Right.
When you say he have a nice little album, what makes you say little?
Ooh, that's a good question. Because,
look, let me tell you
that's
why.
That's a good question.
Because my homies be like, yeah, I'm going to stop by your little party.
Yeah.
But we on 5 acres with the whole backyard. It's a festival in the backyard.
Right, right.
It's not a little party.
Right.
So I'm saying, why do we, right, as black people, because it's really a black thing.
Yeah.
We always call somebody shit little.
Right.
Just is it actually a little album or?
Nope. I like that. So, safe space, I stand corrected.
So I want to change it to.
There you go.
Just what it is, or go big.
All right. There you go.
Go big. Go.
Big album. That was a big boy move.
I've listened to it three times.
I stand corrected. It was a big boy move.
But think about that. I ain't heard AB album yet.
Right, right.
I ain't heard AB album yet, but yeah, I did. I actually purchased Shaq's album and it went platinum. Like,
hey, oh yeah, Shaq album did go platinum.
It was.
Yeah. I ain't gonna get into that because I don't
listen
no
to that
beef.
Album.
I heard it.
I was at the music.
Right.
I was at the Grammy, too. Bro, when he was playing for the Orlando Magic, I went to the dang on one of the music videos. Yeah, like,
yo,
I was there.
Shaq went platinum and won a, you know what I'm saying? Won some awards with that, man.
Yeah, that's a good little conversation right there.
Dame Lillard.
Dame is nice.
Dame be kicking it.
Yeah, but this album, AB, he did his thing.
Dame lyrically sound better, but the songs and the producer
correct
that AB was working with put the songs together.
Put an album together.
Like he been doing this for
right,
a time.
But
it's kind of like what you said.
That's what
they
should. That's what producers should do.
He got the money behind.
They should produce. Yeah,
that's what we was talking about.
He got the bag behind him. So hey, we can make this look like a poster.
Nah, so Drillmatic.
Yeah.
You know,
nah, this album, bro. This is the first album besides The Doctor's Advocate, which was my second album, that I really, 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 really gave a fuck about the process from beginning to end. So when you hear Drillmatic, and I mean you, and anybody that's watching this, anybody that hears Drillmatic, when you listen to it, you're gonna get quality rap music. I guarantee you. And I guarantee you it's gonna be the best rap album that you've heard in a very, very long time, because I put everything that I am into this album. And I even made sure that I got every on it that I wanted to get on it that was the top dog of this generation, basically, outside of Lil Baby, because he is moving around. But yeah, man, like, I got, the features are there, but they're in the right place.
You can't tell us yet?
Nah, man.
What's up with y'all? Like, hey. How y'all pick the date, and then why y'all be so secretive around like who?
Because I want you, when you listen to
he
it,
want us to be like,
when you listen to it, I don't want you to be expecting this person to do this.
Yeah.
I just want you to listen to it and wholeheartedly be,
it's real.
I want it to be a surprise party for you. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you don't know that your whole family in the house.
Okay, so set the mood for us, right? Like, you know, some albums, I need to pull out the old school. Some albums, I may slide, pull out the bins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some albums, I may be sitting at the crib with the lady. You know, so how should we consume this album? You understand? You know
this,
what I'm saying? The vibe.
Album,
give us the vibe.
This album is gonna be best consumed on your own, by yourself, on a day where the sun ain't really piercing through the clouds like it need to be. Just you. On one of them days, man, them days where it's just a mellow day and things seem perfect, but they not perfect because the aesthetics seem dull. That's what this album is, man. It's 30 songs on this album. It ain't,
man.
You not going,
oh,
hey, yo, check me. Look.
Do people know that? Are we breaking news?
Yeah,
that's
30? Yeah. Nah, they know.
They know 30?
It ain't, you not going to skip
30?
One.
30?
Hey, it ain't no skips.
No skips?
Not one. You got my number?
And I'm,
you got my number. They got flower emojis too.
Oh, I'm gonna give you your flowers, but 30 no skip?
30 no skip.
No skip.
Has 30. That ever been done before?
30. And yo,
it's a double album?
This is not, nah, it's just one album.
Wow. Is this it? Did you put out 30? Is this retirement?
Nah,
you
saying I'm
yeah,
saying,
yeah, I remember you said.
This
you
is just,
while,
this
bro.
Is what I think, this is what I think hip hop fans deserve from every artist.
When you said this is real rap, like what does that mean? Like, when you put the
it's,
description
this is
around
the,
that.
This is the realest form of rap music that you are gonna get from a artist in 2022.
Bro, this sound like a farewell, bro.
Nah, man. You
42, 43.
I'm 42.
You 42.
Yeah.
You put out 30 jams, bro. Like that sound like, okay, I'm here, here's my art.
Yeah.
Like I'm
but
moving.
my last album was a few years ago. So I wanted to make sure that my fans had everything they needed. And I was only gonna put 19 on the album, but I kept recording. And so I started to fall in love with more music. And I was like, if I make a song that can take another song off the album, I'll just replace it. But everything was so phenomenal, you know what I'm saying? And there's no limits because I create, like I own all my shit now. So it's like I'm gonna give my fans and hip-hop as a whole, all hip-hop fans and all genres, an album that is just undeniably classic.
You got Hov on it?
I can't wait to hear
it. Nah, I don't got Hov on it. And I that would, yo.
I can't
and
wait to hear it.
That would, and that would have been amazing. But this
you always
album,
put your passion in there.
This album is so crazy, it don't need Hov on it.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Right.
And that would be amazing, but it don't need that.
How does a rapper retire?
Retire?
Does a rapper ever retire? As an athlete, we know when, or they tell us when to hang them up.
You meet an untimely demise, or fans hang you up. That's it. It's two ways.
The lyric law. What you feel about this, man?
That's
it's real bullshit.
That's
lyric law.
The lyric law is them able to use your rap lyrics in your trial and use that to like pack you up on some RICO. What I'm saying is they don't.
That's what they're doing right
when Arnold Schwarzenegger plays Terminator and he's shooting and killing, you don't go take the movie Terminator 1 through 3 and go take that to his trial and like say that he's a robot machine killer. Like, man, like a lot of these rappers, and I'm not saying Thug and Gunna are, but a lot of these rappers these days are capping and doing what's culturally appropriate for the rap median today. And so that should not be used against these kids in court. That's just trash. And it is a system set up, I mean, it's a system made for all African-American artists to, number one, fall, for your masters to fall in the hands of Massa, and for us to be fighting back for what we own, rightfully so. So again, I don't support that, and I think there needs to be a law passed in Congress where that cannot be used in these trials because it's rendering black men helpless, and I don't like it at all.
How's your kid life being a dad? You know what I mean?
Man, that is it's an amazing process, man, to watch a child being born, watch him grow and then turn into a man. My oldest is 19 at the, you know, he going to college now, which is crazy because that's the baby from the documentary. He was only, he was 8 months on that cover. It's crazy.
Training them.
It's crazy to watch your child become a man because and your fatherhood kicks into overtime. Everybody been to overtime, you know what I'm saying? All y'all professional athletes. Fatherhood kicks into overtime when your child becomes 18 and you have to then overparent because of the world that you live in and the state that it's in. Look what's going on, man. This world is shitty. Yeah. It's so much shit happening to all races and all creeds and all people that you got to go overtime in tutoring your children and being, a teacher, man, because there's so much to watch out for, man. The internet being one, hateful people, racism being the craziest that I've ever seen in my life because of all the different forms and facets it comes in. It's just, look at the Buffalo, that was terrible. The Uvalde shooting, terrible, man. But it doesn't erase the ones before. It's just like, damn, still? Right, and what do we do now? Right. Well, let's go march, let's go put on our black shirts and stomp the street. Like, nah, man, it's something else gotta break, man. Cause all the protesting and all the Black Lives Matter and all this shit and all that, it's not working, man. Cause people still over people, and I don't like it one bit. So again, my parenting is in overtime. Like, mine's got to make it, and if they don't, I'm gonna rain hell because they all I got.
I hate to even think of something like that. That's
every day, I got three children that go in three different directions, and I'm putting faith into the world and teachers and schools to make sure that they get back home safe to me, and that's a fucked up process to have to go through day in and day out as a parent.
So in sports, we have agents. You know what I mean? When we want out of our contract, we call our agent. Hey, Peter, I need you to go in here, tell these folks I want $10 million a year. If they can't do it, release me. I want to go somewhere else. You did the Rick James when you wanted out your contract. I mean, up on the table, like, hey, do this the right way, or
yeah, man.
I'm finna get out of here. This is way too many albums. So tell us about it, man. Tell us about what happened.
That's an important topic because like when you talk about it, you never talk about the room.
Right.
You know, like I really want to take us into the room.
All right. Well, basically, man, I was just I was unhappy, and I felt like after my first album at Interscope, because of my all the turmoil and because of the beef. With when you beef with 50, at that time, 50 was tied to Eminem. Eminem is Dre. Dre is Jimmy Iovine, and so it's a whole family right here, and you on the outside looking in now mm-hmm. because I decided to not be a bitch, basically. I could have not said about nothing. I could have said something different on Phone Flex that day and right now be worth probably 100 more million, 200 more million than I am. But I'm not able to sleep at night if I don't walk in my truth. So I spent the rest of the four albums, my next four albums, on the outside looking in. Like, this would just give me enough money to finish my album. I couldn't even shoot all the videos I wanted to shoot because they would tell me my budget ran out or this or that. And I know what that is. That was inside hate from the powers that be who wanted to keep me down. You know what I'm saying? And didn't want me to surpass. And it's like I could never understand that because Dr. Dre didn't care if Eminem was bigger than Dr. Dre or if he ever grew to that. M didn't care if 50 was bigger than Eminem. But when it came to me, 50 didn't want anybody in the group to be bigger than him. And I caught that like early, and I wasn't f***ing with that. I wanted to be the biggest rapper in the world. And I knew that I had the talent, and I knew that I had the skill. And I really didn't want to die in the hood, so I was giving it my all. I wanted to be successful, and was trying to keep me from being successful, so I spoke out. Once I spoke out about it, just pushed me, left me to the side. I wasn't getting no, you know, love from Dr. Dre like I was getting, you know, on the documentary. I wouldn't get the building. When I walked in the building got quiet. Just be typing and, and talking. I walk in and get, everybody get quiet.
Right.
So it's like, after I dealt with it for three albums, and that's why, you know, sometimes you didn't feel my passion in my albums, bro, because I was in that with no, I couldn't say. And the internet wasn't as big back then. So you couldn't run to the internet and say some shit on your live. Wasn't no live. Wasn't no Instagram, none of that. Wasn't even Twitter. So I'm saying, I had to deal with it emotionally. Contemplated suicide. You know, like, went off on family members. Broke up with, you know, potential soulmate. Just going through up time as a young black man in music. And I felt alone. So it's like, once I went through hell, and I made it out the fire, and I patted myself out, and I ain't had no third-degree burns, I was like, oh, we stronger than ever. So I was like, yeah, it's time to get out this contract. Birdman was offering me, you know, like $5 million or something to come over to Cash Money. He was going to take the Blood Money, Cash Money thing and do that. He was like, I'm ready, nephew. You just got to get out your album. I mean, get out your deal. When that nigga Birdman told me that, I was like, you mean I could be signed to Birdman? Like, I mean, I'm still a hood. So at the end of the day, Cash Money is Army, better yet a Navy. Like, yeah, that was a dream of mine, too. I wanted to be signed to everything. I wanted to be signed to Rockefeller, Rough Riders, Cash Money, rappers that was athletes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Athletes that was rappers. Like, you wanted to be a part of them, you know, them big franchises. So when that Birdman was like, yo, you got to take you over here if they don't appreciate you. I was like, look.
All right.
It's time to go figure this contract out. So, you know, I went up to Interscope and I sat down with Steve Berman, and he was saying how many more albums I owed, and that it was gonna be hard to get out the contract. And I just kind of told him, like, you know, I got kids, bro, and I'm not walking out of here signed to Interscope. I'm just not walking out of here signed to Interscope, and neither are you.
Damn.
Big boy conversation.
And that is not, you know, kids don't try this at home, but I was real passionate about being independent and making my own decisions. And I told Berman, I gave y'all everything that I am. I know how much money y'all made, and I don't even care. I'm not even looking for it. I'm still a nigga that ain't went and did forensic checks on Interscope and all the albums. I said, I ain't did that. And I don't even really give a fuck about that. Like, I get to the bag, and I'm a hustler. But on that day, I wanted off that contract, and I walk straight up out that motherfucker as an independent artist.
Right.
And again, I don't recommend nobody else doing that. That's my story. It's part of who I am. And I'm not even proud of that. But at the end of the day, it is why I'm here, and it is why I feel as good as I do waking up looking in the mirror at the man that I see, and yes, I can be like, my nigga, and then the mirror be like, nigga, at the same time. Right. And so we here.
And Ball, my agent back in the day, I had some struggles. My agent used to tell me, you know, B, you ain't got your money yet. I need to teach you how to be more diplomatic. To the upcoming artists and athletes listening to this show, What type of advice do you give them to being true, staying true to themselves, but also understanding the business?
All upcoming athletes, and I'm talking to the kid in 10th grade right now who could throw a football out the fucking field, out of the school. And an athlete, you got a kid out there somewhere, man, jumping higher than LeBron, is stronger than LeBron and Zion somewhere coming up. And you got a rapper out there who writing his first rap, right? And you got an R&B singer and somebody that played the piano as good as Elton John played the piano, and they really, really passionate about making it. Man, do the business first. Stop, man. Get off the piano and go study the business side first of whatever it is that you want to do, so that way your talents can match your wit, and that when you walk into these buildings, man, and you start talking, you know, the way that you need to talk, you get what you deserve. It's the difference between that, the difference between you getting what you deserve and you not getting what you deserve is a they know the law getting pulled over by the police, and the nigga just rolled his window down and say, why the fuck you pulling me over, and get all aggressive and get himself shot. But me, I know that I don't got to get out of my car. I know that all my is legit. You know what I'm saying? I know that I got insurance. I know where my paper's at, and I know the law. So, no, I will not get out the car. And what are you pulling me over for? And I know, like, you know, all sections of the law now, but I'm a grown man. I wish that I knew back in the day, and I wouldn't have some of the encounters and some of the situations and had to hurdle some of the things that I had to hurdle. So I'm telling everybody of all, I don't care what you're doing. The business side comes first. Stop what you're doing. Understand the business side 100%, and then start, and then kick your shit off.
Language. That's what it is. It's really language, right? Yeah. Like, business is language. If we speak the same language, we can sit at the table together. So that's
Yeah, and you got to be able to play the game, basically, what he tell me. You know what I mean? Brandon had a good agent, though. Brandon don't play for cheap. That's one thing I can tell you about him. His agent, hey, B know how to get the money out of a squirrel. Yes, boy, I'm talking about every year, I'm like, man, this still getting paid 10, 12 a year.
Right. Bruh. I mean, it's just principle. It's just like, you know, we had Aaron Donald on the show. Yeah. It's just like, yo, I know my value. I know my worth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And he had to teach me how to be diplomatic with it. And I'm still going through those same challenges as a black man running a media company. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I had networks say, well, where's his agent? You know, we want to talk to him. Like, no, I'm the CEO founder
of this.
Exactly. What you mean? So we still playing it, and I made some mistakes, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm in a better position because of our football career.
Lakers, you're a big Lakers fan.
Yeah, I'm a huge Laker fan, man. Bigger fan of Kobe than anybody. Of course, I grew up with Mike. Michael Jordan, this is crazy. One of the reasons that I am a blood is because my favorite team was the Bulls, and like I just would not take I would not take my Bulls jersey off for nobody. And so I grew up in a Crip neighborhood in the early stages of my childhood, and I can remember White Boy T and Leonis, who probably gonna watch this and be like, yeah, cuz, you know what I'm saying? But like them know, like I would not take my Bulls jersey off. And so I had to go across the tracks to wear their Bulls jersey all day. And so, you know, that's what it was. So I ended up being a blood, that's Jordan's fault.
You know? Speaking of
Lakers. Or the Bulls. I don't know who you want to blame over there.
Speaking of Lakers.
But Lakers, that's my team, man. Kobe, my guy.
Everybody is saying is the point guard,
Russell Westbrook
fault.
Right.
How do you fix the Lakers right now?
How do you fix the Lakers right now, man? You gotta, it's like this, man. You know that too many superstars on one team is like, it's only one basketball. You know what I'm saying? And so if the superstar is LeBron and you got AD, mm-hmm. I don't think you need to bring West there. I don't think you need to bring Russ there, because Russ is his own superstar. And so Russ needs to get with maybe another one big superstar, but it don't need to be five on the same team. Like, Melo is coming off the bench. I don't never think Carmelo should come off nobody bench as long as he's on the court. Because Melo can give you 20, 30, 40, whatever he feel like. Russ needs the ball for, what is it, 48 minutes? Russ needs the ball for 38.
I think AD just got to be healthy.
Yeah, it ain't even that. It's just it's one basketball. You need role players too. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that you are not an amazing basketball player, but you, if I'm Michael Jordan, I need like Swaggy P. You know what I'm saying? I don't need Charles Barkley at the 2 and Olajuwon at the 5 and Patrick Ewing playing power forward. We're gonna lose because these guys like Caldwell Pope and you know Monk and these guys, these Jordan Pools,
right.
Like these gotta get the rock because these are guys like Steve Kerr and John Paxson that can make amazing shit happen that don't have a shoe deal. That's the Lakers' problem.
I love it. You the GM. You gonna be. We're gonna sign you as a GM.
G-A-M-E, but you know.
I want to go back to end the show this way. You know, you flew through. You know this soundbite. You said during that time when you were going back and forth with Interscope, you know, you contemplated suicide. Talk a little bit about that.
So suicide, I understand it. I understand it to be exactly what it is, right? Suicide is taking your own life, right? Or in layman's terms, you could be committing suicide if you do something that is going to be career ending or something like that, depending on what your what genre of life we're talking about. But suicide as itself is a very, very, the thought process is a disease. How to overcome that is to empower yourself. See, a lot of people who are struggling with their mental health and their capacity to understand that the love comes from within, it starts with you, don't have people around them to tell them these things. So that's why I'm glad that you touched on this, because people that commit suicide are looked upon as weak.
Weak, yep.
Weak people, right? Because they want to immediately do away with life as we know it. And all of the things that we have put value in. We don't want to commit suicide because our car and our woman and, you know, our family or our shoe collection. Like, if I kill myself, my chains. Like, who gonna get that? Like, people that kill themselves are the strongest people on the planet. Because do you know how much courage and strength it takes to remove yourself from the earth, yourself?
You think that?
I think that. I don't think that. You got to understand the reverse.
I don't know if I feel the same way.
That's making
sense. And the only reason what I'm saying is, well, I'll let you finish. Go ahead. You can finish.
Here, if I gave you a gun right now, you got to think about that. If I gave you a gun right now and told you to shoot yourself.
That's tough.
Or shoot anything. Shoot
I'm
anything.
Shoot anything you tell me to shoot before I shoot myself.
Yeah, but here's the thing. To shoot yourself, you have to be strong as to bypass all of the thoughts that it takes to keep yourself here. You know how much, man, look, man.
I know what you're trying to
You know how much shit that you got to think about before you finally get to that act? How many days that you've had to endure that pain on that level? We ain't went through that pain. And the reason why you can't relate and I can't really relate, see, I understand it because I study it. But the reason you probably can't relate because you haven't went through those days. You know what I'm saying? You probably felt like at one point or a time, like you probably thought about it. Like, damn, man, it's a fucked up day. What if I kill myself? What if? It's just a thought. But it's people really out there. Every single day they wake up is their last day on earth. You're not with them. You're not inside them. Those emotions, to battle that, to get to the final fucking day, you got to be the strongest on earth to get there. Well, and I'm telling you that.
Well, I respect your opinion, you know, and for me.
And that's all it is an opinion.
Right. I mean, for me, I think the strongest is someone who fights those thoughts and actually overcomes it. I think there's two populations. I think there's people who fight those thoughts for a lifetime.
Right.
And then, you know, finally succumb to that. But what I also think there's a population of folks that's like, life is tough. And it's like, I'm gonna take my life. I think that's a bigger population than those folks who fight those thoughts every single day for a lifetime.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying you're wrong or any of us. What I say is that I appreciate life in all facets because I've amassed a smooth fortune. I have children to live for, and so it's not about me. But am I strong enough or weak enough to commit suicide after going through that I've went through? I think I'm both. I'm strong and I'm weak. And in that is human. And so we'll never have the answers because we can't dig somebody out of the grave that committed suicide and ask them. And so all we can do is research. But then the things that we're researching are only human opinion too and human research too. And so even a person that studies suicide every single day of their life still hasn't committed suicide to really understand it. All I know is that the world as a whole, needs a lot more love than we've given each other, and that will save a lot more lives. And so you have people like me and you who are fighting different things. We're all fighting different things on certain days. You know, when you get in your car, when you get alone, or when you go hoop, and you're getting up shots, and you need to blow some steam off, we all go through those days. And so we're fighting to stay alive. Other people don't have the same values as us. We're not all the same individuals. So I think that this, even though we're wrapping up now, this is a conversation that I would love to talk to y'all for about again. And maybe we have to do a part two about mental health of any race and of all capacities so that we can really, really dig. And what I'll do is I'll dare me to go do my homework on as much suicide prevention and as much suicide assist and as much suicide conversation. And I dare all y'all to do the same thing so that we are prepared to really unpack shit and have a real conversation on how to save lives, how to preserve lives, and how to appreciate each other.
People don't complete their suicide mission. Right.
That's respect.
Yeah. That's a lot of people that don't complete it. Like they try to true. But they don't really go all the way through.
I'm one.
Yeah.
I had some dark. Hey, I've had some dark days.
Right.
Dark days.
Right.
You're looking at a person who doesn't have a father because you know he died of a heart attack. I got two dead siblings. I've been shot. I've lost countless homies. I've been to so many funerals that I contemplate if I want to go to my mother's. I'm tired. I'm just tired of getting dressed and going to see people in a box. That is psychological warfare with myself. I'm starting to get to a point where I just need to retain a picture or a memory because the process of having to go to a funeral, it drains you for however long until you work yourself back up to feel good. So anyway, man, I love y'all. And I think that the world as a whole needs more love. And we don't all got the answer, Sway. You know what I'm saying? But I'm down to do more research, educate myself, and appreciate all facets of life and people to make us all better.
Yeah, but thank you for, you know, opening up and creating a space that, you know, by telling your story, creating a space for us to have this conversation because there's people going through this. And the goal is to tell them, like what you said, you know, there is more life. We do need more love and continue to fight. Because we all going through it. Let's start the conversation.
And so anybody that is contemplating suicide, thinking about suicide, I take, you know, when I just said you have to be a strong person to act on it, I want you to reverse that and be strong this way. Be strong back the way towards life.
Right.
Because if I see you, I love you. And I'm giving you a hug. And I'm not saying every human on earth, because some days I don't be feeling like hugging. But for the most part, I just exude love and positive energy. And it goes back to how we started this conversation when I said I don't wake up with any malicious intentions on any other human beings, and that makes me a good person, if only for me. And so I'm gonna preach that, I'm gonna say that, and I'm gonna scream that, and I'm gonna tell all four of y'all and everybody in this room that I love y'all. We are all different. It's some different biracial people in here, one race people in here, white people in here, black people in here, Muslims in here. I love everybody, and I want everybody to have a good day, and I'm going to do my research because the next time that we talk, when I'm having a debate with my brother, your shit better, you better, all you can, your fireball better be like mine, you know what I'm saying?
Well, this is how we're going to really end it. The album, I know you've been putting a lot into it, 30 damn songs. I'm going to text you and call you like, bro, I ain't skipped none. I'm going to be honest with you. I skip one, I skip two, or I'm going to give you my honest feedback.
Be honest.
I'm going to be honest, okay? After that, I know what you're thinking as far as in this space, content space. So when you launch, I can't wait till you launch your own show, your own podcast, whatever format you want to put it in. Who's gonna be your first guest, right?
Maybe Pac-Man.
Yeah.
I'm
talking about anyone in the world. That's cool. Cause I know what you want. I know what type of space you're trying to create. We ain't gonna talk about it too much.
We here, and I like it to be Pac-Man.
Bet.
Yeah.
That's real.
You smell me?
Dope. Yeah.
Good.
We had to fight to get a meal, yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite your skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam, you got a light that we're getting wheels straight up. Look in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.